In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the book of Ezekiel, God himself says that he is the good shepherd. God calls himself the good shepherd, and he promises that he will come and he will gather all of his sheep together and bring them into his kingdom. The second reading that we had this morning in celebration and memory of Saint Innocent, Metropolitan of Moscow, was from the Gospel according to Saint John, where Jesus is saying to those who come to him, "I am the good shepherd. I am the door. Those who come in through me, through the door that I am, into the kingdom, where the pastures of my Father lie, will have peace, will have salvation from the death and the sin and the suffering of this world. And they will be able to go in and come out and return." How are we to understand what Christ is saying? He is the door. He is the way into his Father's kingdom of those green pastures. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." I shall not want, not for the things of the world. I've heard these passages used as though God were interested in giving us all of the material things that we desire, and as though Christ will guide us in such a way that we will reap the benefits of this world. Such a strange misinterpretation, a willful misinterpretation for sure. Very strange. "I shall not want, not for the things of the world, but for the things that once I have them, the things of the world mean little to me." Everything falls into place in terms of our value system. Once we have the things that fulfill us, the spiritual goods of life, the spiritual treasure. The cynical people misunderstand Jesus as saying that you will have those things after this life. Pie in the sky. But for right now, you'd better get the things of this world. And the cynical people say, this is the nature of the Christian faith, that you suffer in this world, and afterward you're promised good things. Why not have the good things now, and you can still go and glorify God for having given you these good things? What a cynical and fully unchristian way of misinterpreting the Gospels. When we have the good things of spiritual life, when we have peace, and we have confidence in not justice according to the world, where all of us get the benefits of the world that we deserve and the bad guys don't get anything. That's not God's peace. That's not the way of his kingdom. That's not what Jews, especially exemplified by St. Paul more than anyone else, understood by God's justice. Justice for St. Paul and justice for the rabbis who knew the meaning of the Old Covenant was a world where all of the good and beauty of God's kingdom was in its place. And the heart of a human being was the same way, where everything was just and righteous and good and beautiful within the heart of a human being who was able to lie down in the green pastures of God's good and beautiful world, where everything is just, everything is in its place, everything is where it belongs. The high things are high and the low things are secondary. We do need things of the world. We need to go out into the world and we need to work. Christ does not justify sloth or laziness. He tells us that if we enter through him, we will be able to go in and we will be able to go out. We will be able to go out into the world and live our lives in the world, doing the lower things that are necessary, but not mistaking them for the higher things. The body will become the servant of the soul, and our lives become that place where we reject the temptation to hold the things of the world and the goods of the world and pleasures that come briefly and disappear. You know, that's not what we don't let pleasure do that. We want to hang on to it, or we want to find something that gives us pleasure, some kind of something that we can take or drink or eat or buy that gives us pleasure. That's not the nature of pleasure. Pleasure is a fleeting thing. It comes upon us in a surprising kind of way. You never know when you're going to have pleasure, and then it's gone. And that's the way pleasure should be. We can't fix it and hang on to it and sell it somehow in Walmart so that we can go in and pay a price for it and come home and here I have pleasure in a box and it's going to comfort me. That's not the nature of pleasure. You can't hang on to it. The things of the world have a practical necessity, but that's all. They are of lower and secondary importance. If we raise them up to be of the highest importance, then our whole life is upside down. And if we seek pleasure for its own sake, then we're willing to give up the most important things for just a little bit more. We find that we become addicted to the things of the world. And so as Christians, we enter into the kingdom. We enter into those green pastures of the Father through the door that is Jesus Christ. How? By no longer desiring to put our passions and pleasure at the center of our life. We have to let that die. We have to let it sink into its place of actual significance. There are good things to be had from the world, pleasures to be enjoyed, but they can't be pursued for their own sake, because if we do that, as a matter of fact, we will lose even the capacity to enjoy them, because they are not the ultimate things. We are able to enter into that place through Christ, who says that he is the door and he is the good shepherd, and he will guide us into that place. And once we have been there, once we have known that peace, once we have known the pleasure of that green pasture, when we go out into the world to do our work, we'll be able to resist the temptation to forget where we belong and what the ultimate things are. St. Paul says that a human being has a twofold quality. On the one hand, we have an inner life, and on the other hand, we have an outer life. According to the Blessed Theophylact, we are called to enter into the inner place of a human being through Christ, and there find the cool pastures of peace, where our desires are quiet. The lust that we have for the things of the world and for pleasure for its own sake is quiet there. We have that peace that passes all understanding. Then, what does it mean to go out? To go out means to go out from our inner selves, where we have that place of peace and quietness and the experience of being in God's kingdom. And we go out to do struggle against what St. Paul calls the other law, law that is somehow in the members of our body. Our hands want to grasp and to own. Our eyes want to lust after the good things of this life. Our mouths want to taste all of the good things of this world. Not just when it comes along in the course of our doing our work in the world, but to make that our ultimate goal, to be able to consume the good things of the world. And this law of desire and passion works against the law of God, the law of that peace and balance of the kingdom. When we go out into the world, our spiritual life is made up of rejection of the temptation to be broken up into those little pieces of passion and desire that put an end to the peace that we have known when we have entered in through the door that is Christ, when we have entered in through the door of abandoning our ultimate love of those things and putting them as an idol in the place of God. That's the only way we can enter in through the door that is Christ. There is a death there, a death to that lust for the world, a death to that selfish and ego-based lust for the use of other things and even other people as though they weren't human beings. That has to die if we are going to enter in through the door that is Christ. We have to periodically do that, and we do it by prayer. We do it by prayer in the morning and prayer in the evening. We enter into that place. Only fools stand before God and ask for the things of the world. We are there to enter into the place of His dominion, into the place of His kingdom. We are there to enter through the door that is Christ, so that we can know that peace and remember where we belong when we go out again into the world in order to fight the spiritual struggle that transforms us. And it can transform us in one of two ways. We can betray Christ, forget the peace of that pasture, forget who is our shepherd, and be shepherded by one who tells us, go after the things of the world, just as the devil tempted Christ on the mountain. I will give you all these things if you fall down and worship me. And we know the truth. And as Orthodox Christians, we know all these things so well that we might be able to tell others, I know where the door is. I know what it means to enter through him into this place of green pasture and lie down. But what that person ought to ask the Orthodox person who is witnessing to these truths is, then why don't you enter through that door? Because if you had, and you were returning here into this world and standing before me, I would know through you where that place is and how to enter in. You would be a witness to me without words, and you wouldn't have to tell me that I, as an Orthodox Christian, know where the door is, but I haven't entered in yet. Why don't you? Come and be another one of us who knows where the door is and doesn't enter through. But we have to remember this. It's not as though we are expected all to be monastics. All we have to do is enter through Christ one time and know that that's where the ultimate things are. We don't have to completely abandon all of the ways of the world that cling to us. We simply have to know where the garden is, where the pasture is. We enter through prayer, even if our life is not a revelation to others of the presence of God. At least we know which way is up. We know where the door is, and we know how to go through. And we go through regularly in prayer and ask God to forgive us for forgetting him as we live in the world. And that's how he is our shepherd. That's how he guides us. In order to be guided by the shepherd, we have to be willing to follow him. We have to be willing to enter through the door that he is. And so in our lives, let us not despair as though the things of the world and our passionate desires were ultimate realities that control us. Some of us are willing to admit that that's the way it is and come and bemoan the fact in confession. God, forgive me for being completely under the control of my passions and desires. It's a strange confession to God to stand before the one who is the door into life and confess that we are not going to enter this time either. And please forgive us for not preferring life to a living death and an egotistical love of the things of the world. It is a little death when we admit that that is not reality, but we have to do that. We have to be willing to live with the discomfort of the fact that the way we live most of the time, we know fully well, is not tied to ultimate things. But we have to be willing to come before Christ and admit that we know what things are ultimate, and we know how to find them. And even though it makes us miserable to remember, because it accuses us as we live a life in the world that is unworthy, we never forget where the door is and the fact that we know how to enter and that we have entered before and that there is peace and joy there that can guide us. It's for us to do what needs to be done, to love God and live in the world and remember where the door is and how to return to Him. Remember where our true home lies. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.